Okay, so now let's get into some questions. Ranke does have a question. She asks, how long do these unintegrated reflexes remain in the child?
Well, generally, most of the primitive reflexes will integrate within the first year. The STNR, the symmetrical tonic neck reflex, that may integrate as late as 3 years old, but generally, those reflexes are starting to integrate at 2 to 4 months.
All right. And then Karen has a question. So sorry, this is a big one, but she talks about the dreaded Moro. And I think a lot of parents, especially with what's happening right now, are dealing with these issues. But she's saying it always creeps back in. Can you tell us more ways that it might show up so we can recognize and then maybe do some exercises in the moment? Or is that a bad idea?
I mean, I shared a lot about Cammie and kind of the characteristics that she exhibited. Any kind of atypical response to stress is a trigger. And then sometimes fear of things that, kids shouldn't be fearful of because they've patterned kind of this atypical response to stress, that they could create a pattern of being very fearful. So there was a period of time when Cammie hated going into public restrooms with automatic toilets. And she had a little tiny thing. And she would ask me, is it automatic? Like that, like little tiny, like 2 years old. And it was because she was so fearful of that noise triggering without her control, and it would throw her into Moro. And so kind of things like that you want to look for. I will tell you, trying to parent a kid who is in a full Moro response is hard, especially if you're in public. You always feel like you're being judged. Any kind of deep pressure, like squeezing or holding, because it makes the child feel secure and safe. The Moro points are, when we talk about reflex integration, I don't know, let me see, here we go, are the inside of the elbows. And so a lot of times with Cammie, that's where I would squeeze and put pressure on her elbows, on the inside of her elbows, and just to help her, and then start breathing so that she could start to get out of that Moro state. So that's something, a technique that I've used that really worked well for her.
And for older kids who, if they start to recognize, that they're feeling really anxious, crossing their arms and giving themselves some pressure there, where Lauren was saying, right above the elbows, if you and you can kind of think about it like fight. Okay, that's so pressure there above the elbows, that's kind of the fight response that you can settle. And then also right around the knees, so just above the knees, so if they put their hands under their legs and just kind of squeeze there, or of course you can do that for younger children, but this is a very stressful time. Just the whole deal with COVID and online school, it's added a whole other layer of stress to everybody. And so, if you see that your child is more irritable, they're having more trouble paying attention, they're, startling easily, their eyes are really dilated, like, because that's a survival response. It's like, my eyes have to take in absolutely everything I possibly can to see if I'm safe, or they start getting hypersensitive. What you want to do, I mean, just in general, especially during this time, is make sure you have routines and structure in place. Use, a calm, quiet voice, and just know that if your child really is in a, as Lauren was saying, kind of in a full-blown meltdown, Moro state, you can give them a little bit of pressure if they'll allow you to do that. You may, don't try to reason with them. They're not in their rational brain, so give them time. Just, you might even just talk. Our voices can be very soothing to the nervous system. So you might just you know, sort of hum or talk really gently and quietly, kind of a low voice, you know, talk about anything. It doesn't matter what. Read poems, you know, but that can be soothing, you know, if the child is really, you know, really in that hyper moro state. But in general, with our kids, if we can start to help them notice that they're what it feels like when they're anxious, and, you know, work with them on breathing, a little bit of pressure can help.
I like the breathing. I think that is a big one. I work with a lot of families and parents just on different breathing techniques. So you think about the physiological symptoms that happen when this moro is firing.
Right. And with that deep breathing, you know, we like to do the 5-count breath. You breathe in for 5, breathe out for 5, counting on your fingers. It just then floods the brain with oxygen. So it's going to be able to take care of itself better, slows down, you know, that panic response. And I know that kids, whether they consciously know it or not, they know that it's helpful because I see them use it on their own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Oops. So Karen says, thank you. He had bad allergies too. She forgot that allergies were a part of that more.
They are. And ear, nose, and throat symptoms as well. Because if you think about that, stress response is putting cortisol into the system, and you know, it's in the neck, it's, you know, it's going through the lymphatic system. So ear, nose, and throat, tonsil issues, things like that, also symptoms of moro.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So Ronke, she has a follow-up question. So when they don't, what happens? I think she's referring to when reflexes don't integrate. Can it impact, can the impacts on learning be reversed?
Yes. And we are going to talk a little bit about, after, you know, a little bit later in the show, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the techniques that we use to help integrate reflexes, but they can be integrated. So that, and oh my gosh, we see such change as a result.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And behavior. I mean, I talked about Cami. Where her symptoms come out in behavior, I mean, it can make a dramatic difference with learning as well, or behaviors associated with learning, all of those different kind of functions at the top of the continuum.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're working with a teenager right now who has traditionally had a little bit of difficulty with expressive language and definitely with attention, and working with the retained reflexes. I mean, her communication is getting so much better. And this is, you know, this is a kid in regular classes and everything, but still there are learning issues there that are getting in her way. And her ability to sustain her attention and just the connections for that expressive language, we've seen such change doing the reflex integration.
I've even seen, I know you talk about, we talked about younger students a lot, but with older students, teenagers and skills at the executive function level change working passively when integrating reflexes. I'm sure you guys will get to that soon, but okay, we have one more question. Let's bring it up here. Cindy says she has not heard much about this topic. She has a son who just turned 10. Is he too old at this point to get help? And how can I find clinicians in New Jersey?
Go ahead. I mean, I could take it. Yeah. It is not too late. We see kids, you know, 10, 11, 12 teenagers. We've worked with adults on retained reflexes and it has made a difference. So it is never too late to work on integrating retained reflexes. And to answer your question, we don't have a physical center in New Jersey right now, but we are working with kids remotely. And so when we talk about some of our therapies that we use to integrate retained reflexes, we'll talk about that, and we can do them remotely. Right now we're working with a lot of students from all over the world, really, remotely on all the learning skills on the continuum, and core learning skills is definitely, and retained reflexes is definitely included in that.
We do have a few more questions here. So let's put up Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, there, Kathy. Says,
her daughter started STOL virtually, and it was a great decision for them. She's seeing her communication skills are increasing, and so she says she enjoys her voice and her disagreement.
She's finding her voice.
Thank you, Kathy.
Yeah. And then we have a question from Melissa. Hi, Melissa. She wants to know the time frame for seeing results with QRI.
So it really depends on what the objective is, what we're going after. So with Cami, she was very young, 18 months. And my sole objective was to integrate the reflexes that were getting in the way of walking. So that was a very short timeline because I was going for something very specific. When we have kids that come in and they're older, because they have, you know, developed some coping strategies, they've developed kind of some splinter skills on top of weak underlying skills, sometimes it does take a little bit longer. And if we're going after, you know, ease with learning, or if we're going after emotional regulation, sometimes we have patterns that students have been kind of programmed with, responses to stress, that have to kind of be undone. And so generally, you know, it's different for every student, but generally parents start seeing some kind of shift within a month or two. And it depends on how often they're coming, and how consistent they are. If they're consistent with sound therapy at home, that definitely speeds up the process. And so there's factors that can get in the way, but usually parents start to see some kind of change within the first few months. But it is different for every child. And your clinician, if you're working with your clinician, the clinician will tell you things to look for. Because sometimes as parents, we get so busy with the day-to-day that we don't realize that our child has made a shift. Mm-hmm. And that they're doing something differently. And they are. And so sometimes our clinicians have to point it out for parents, be like, you know what? We went to go read this page. And instead of her getting stressed out or avoiding, she read it. And that's a huge change for her. So I hope that answers your question. It is different, but generally, you know, within the first few months, you start to see some kind of shift.
Awesome. Okay. Do we have time for one more? We have a private message coming in.
Okay.
They ask, are there things that parents of toddlers and young children, should they be doing to help integrate reflexes?
You know, for an infant, you just need to make sure that they have some tummy time. You know, they need to have time where they can move and, you know, allow them to work at it. Don't automatically help them with everything. They need to use their bodies to start to integrate the reflexes and understand what their bodies do. And so it's going to be a little bit of stress and strain as they try to start to roll over and things like that. With toddlers, get them outside, get them opportunities to climb and run and jump and just, again, move and explore their bodies. That is really, movement has such a profound impact on learning. And it's really hard these days because we have so many educational games and really cool things on iPads and screens. And we think, gosh, I've got to have my child do all these educational things so they'll be really ready for kindergarten. The best thing you can do is get your child moving, give them opportunities to use their bodies. And really for all of us, I was going to say all students, but really all of us, you know, for our memory, our attention, our learning, or our work, our emotional regulation, we need to have movement in every day.
Mm-hmm. Yes, movement is key. All right. Well, if your question, or keep posting your questions as we continue, if they don't get answered, if we don't have time, definitely we can answer it in Mom Squad. So ask to join if you're not a member and post in there and we will have somebody respond to you.
Great. Thank you, Brianna. This is LD Expert Live. I'm your host, Jill Stoll, talking with Lauren Ma about integrating retained reflexes for improved functioning and learning.
It looks like we have some more.
Okay. I was going to wrap it up, but I'll wait.
I know. Always. I missed these ones. Okay. Here we go. Sharon, she says, please clarify things to look for to know if ADHD symptoms alone are most present or if any learning disabilities still persist. She has a son in 12th grade, testing at grade 5, indicated good working memory. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Do they need extra time?
Do they need extra time? Is that what you said?
But students yes. need extra time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he didn't test as having a learning issues in academics.
Good working memory.
Right. But he needs extra time to complete tasks. I think that's what it means. So, you know, she's wanting to know the difference between, is it ADHD alone or a learning challenge? And perhaps even retain reflexes. So I say this to parents a lot, if something is pervasive and it is affecting one of those higher level skills, if it's affecting behavior, if it's affecting, you know, anything, any kind of functioning in school, yeah, there might be something going on. We do know, I mean, ADHD is a learning challenge. It affects attention, but it can also impact learning at the higher level. And most often, retain reflexes are a component of ADHD. We know that they're present in our kids that have a diagnosis of ADHD. So, you know, as a label isn't just a label. I think when Dr. Licata was on our show, he talked about, you know, a label helps to identify a group of symptoms, but the symptoms kind of all have a root. And so that's how we look at learning, not just a label. We look at, okay, can these symptoms be alleviated? And so if there's something pervasive that is getting in his way, absolutely, that can be developed.
Brianna, I think you said this is a 12th grader who's testing at a 5th grade level. Is that what you said?
No, sorry. Here, I'll put it up again. Her son is in grade 12, but grade 5 testing indicated good working memory. Oh, she God. Also adds his processing speed score was low as well.
So sometimes students with good working memory, you know, with a good memory, they can compensate for a lot of things for a long time. And, you know, if this student, if really, truly, if they just get a little bit of extra time on tests or a little bit of extra time on a project and they're able to do it well, you know, function well that way, that may be the only intervention they need. But chances are, if they're needing that extra time, there is some kind of a root cause to it.